When I'm privileged to have a chapel close to Christmas, I sometimes choose to do something on John the Baptist or read a letter from someone who was very close to the Christmas story. And this year I've chosen to read a letter from Joseph, which was actually produced by Pastor Michael Rail in Bismarck, North Dakota, some years ago. My name is Joseph. I am the son of Jacob, the grandson of Mathan. I am what my father before me was, and his father before me, a brick mason. I know you all have been told that I and my son after me were carpenters. We did work some with wood, but there was precious little made of wood in my part of the world. Everything was made from stone and brick. My son will be a bricklayer like his forefathers. At least I think he will. I am here to tell you my story and the story of my family, my son Jesus, and not my son. Let me go back to the very beginning. I knew for quite some time that Mary was the woman I would make my wife. Unlike marriages in your country, our marriages were most often arranged by the parents. Mary was chosen for me, but that suited me just fine. I had long since chosen her for myself. The times in which we lived were bad, but I think not so bad as you have them today. Many of my friends did not wait for marriage to act as only married people ought to act. Decent girls were supposed to wait, but not all did. Mary and I did. It was just understood between us. We never even had to talk about it. And then one day, my small world came crashing down around my shoulders. The girl that I loved and trusted, the girl I was going to make my wife, told me she was going to have a baby. I was both shocked and humiliated. How could she have done this to me, to God? I can't say that I hated Mary when I found out. In fact, I still loved her very much. Still, I could not live with the shame and disgrace. So I made up my mind to divorce her quietly. You see, our engagement was more binding than yours is today. We had made the public promise to become husband and wife. The necessary gifts had been given. We had promised God. So a certificate of divorce was necessary to publicly annul the promise we had made. This was not a decision I came to lightly. I thought about it long and hard. And then one night, my world was again dramatically changed. Only this time, there was no sorrow. Only wonder and joy. My trust in Mary was proved correct when one night the very angel of the Lord appeared to me in a dream or vision. The first thing he said to me confused me greatly. He said to me, "Joseph, son of David." I knew many men named David, but my father's name was Jacob or Jacob. I thought he had the wrong man at first, but then he told me, "Do not be afraid to take your wife Mary home with you, for her child is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Imagine how I felt then. Now I understand why he called me son of David. The angel was talking about King David. He was telling me that I was in the royal line of the great David, and my wife was to give birth to the promised Messiah. What a flood of emotions and wonder followed as I tried to sort this all out, to come to terms with it. I, of course, did what the angel had told me to do. There was some talk around town, of course. We didn't even bother to try to convince most of them about the truth. It sounded far-fetched, even to Mary and me, that she was to have a baby by God, the Holy Spirit. I did take Mary as my wife, but did not consummate our marriage until after the wonderful baby was born. Mary and I were living in Nazareth at the time, in the province of Galilee. Just when I thought that everything was going to go normally for the rest of Mary's pregnancy, we got word that the Romans wanted to count all of their subjects. An ego trip for the emperor, no doubt. The worst part, was that we all had to go to the region of our forefathers to be counted. Since I was descended from David, I had to go all the way to Bethlehem in the province of Judea. Just what I wanted, with Mary almost 9 months pregnant, to start a 70 or 80 mile trip down to Bethlehem. We made the trip with no small discomfort, I'm sure, if you were to ask my wife. But when we got to Bethlehem, we found that there was no place for us to stay anywhere. There were even people camping outside under the stars. Needless to say, I was pretty worried. Finally, a kindly farmer heard of our plight and offered his stable for shelter. It was out of the cold, and it was somewhat private, so we thanked him and accepted. It was then, to my horror, that Mary told me she was going to have the baby, right there in the stable. It was the most terrible yet wonderful day of my life. My feelings were actually rather strange. When the baby came, it was mine, but it was not mine. I was the father, but yet I was not the father. I felt a little embarrassed that I could not provide better for the Savior, as the angel had called him. But we could do no better than to wrap him in his baby clothes and put him down in the cattle trough. Not a very grand entrance into the world for the baby that would be king. Though we were exhausted, Mary and I admired that baby for what seemed like hours. We were glad for the privacy and shelter of the stable. And all at once, I heard coughing outside of the stable door. Your people knock when you want to enter a room, but my people cough lightly outside the door. I went out to look, and there were shepherds there, several of them. They were all excited and out of breath, and I could tell they had been running for quite some time. They asked if a child had been born in the stable, and when I told them that they had, they were overjoyed. They asked if they could come and see the newborn Savior. When I gave them permission, they came and worshiped my son, Jesus. After a while, I asked them how they knew, and they told me the most fantastic story. They had been tending their sheep on the hills outside of town when an angel told them of the birth. And then a whole throng of angels filled the sky and sang praises to God and announced peace on earth. From that time on, the news was out. The shepherds had left and told everyone they could find about what had happened. It was all too much for Mary and me. I was the stepfather of the Son of God, and Mary, his mother. Our family faced many trials in the years to come. We had to flee for our lives more than once. Perhaps my greatest challenge was acting as a father to my Savior. It was very hard for me to come to terms with this. Imagine how you would act towards a son who was himself true God as well as true man. The only thing that made our relationship possible was that the boy never did anything wrong. Never. I tried to teach him things, but it always seemed that it was Jesus who was teaching me. I realize now that I am not to see the end of my son's life, and yet I will die a happy man, for my son Jesus is the Savior promised of old. He is my Savior, and my dear friends, he is your Savior. Believe and trust in him for your salvation, even as I do now. Amen. We'll sing from hymn number 65, stanza 6. Hymn number 65, stanza 6.